Alrighty. Well, if you can't tell, I've lost my voice just a little bit. So we're going to limp through this together, but I think it'll be a good time together. For those of you who went to Freed Hardeman, I lost my voice last night at making music. I wasn't in the show, but Phi Kappa hasn't won in quite a few years, and I got a little overexcited. But I was thankful to be there. And actually, yesterday afternoon, I couldn't help but think about the sermon that was forthcoming today. And so, when I was at Freed, okay, we're good. When I was at Freed, I was actually a missions major first. And at the end of your Bible major, you have the seminar and Bible class. And basically what that means is you have a class that ends with you writing a ridiculously long paper. And my paper centered around this idea, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. Because I was a missions major, I always had a heart to serve kids. And so I didn't stray too far from what I originally set out to do. But one of the things that I always have seen is the power of these proverbs. Now, of course, these are principles. It's not 100% you shoot and you make it every time. However, if you stick to the principle of training up children in the way that they should go when they're old, for the most part, they will not depart from it. And so tonight, that's where we're going to start. If you weren't around last weekend, or if you were around, you may have noticed that there was a lot of people missing Sunday morning. And we were at the Lads to Leaders Conference. I think this is such an awesome program, and I'm so thankful for it because it tries to do exactly this. And so tonight we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 25. But before we get there, I'll share maybe a short story with you, or maybe a short illustration. When I turned 16, I was lucky enough that my dad got a job that required him to drive pretty far. And because of that, he wanted a car that didn't cost $100 a week to fill up. And so he bought this little Hyundai, I don't even know what it was. I don't even think it had the title still on it. It was so old. But this little four-cylinder car that was quite a bit cheaper to drive back and forth to work. And what that left was his truck for me to drive. Now, my parents had rules that came with me being able to drive their truck. They had entrusted me with something, and they expected me to care for that truck and to use it to help them. And so part of the rules and sort of the stipulations that I had with getting to use their vehicle is when they needed something done, I was the one to go do it. So if my brother had ball practice, I was driving to ball practice. If brother needed to go here, I was taking him there. So I started taking my brothers to school, and I started going back and forth and doing all these different things. And my dad was excited. They were very good to me. They let me drive that truck all the way until I was 18. And when I turned 18, I was getting ready to go to Freed, and my parents were like, you need to buy your own car. It's time to grow up. And so I begrudgingly said, okay. And so at the same time, my grandparents were selling their old Dodge Durango. I was like, this is perfect. It's a really nice car. My papaw is one of the most, particular about his cars. He had it detailed probably 30 times over the 10 years he owned it. Like, he had this thing clean. It was a very nice car. And so I was pretty excited about it. He gave me a good deal. In the day before I was going to buy my grandfather's Durango, I was at a stoplight. And I remember the day, it was pretty funny. I was hanging out with a friend from church, and we were driving to go get some supper after a long day at work. And I think I had a headache or something, but I had stopped, and I had my foot on the brake, and I had my head on the steering wheel. And I closed my eyes for just a second, and then I felt the whole truck move. And I was like, uh-oh. And my first thought was, oh, I hit the person in front of me. And I looked over next to me, and the girl that was riding with me, I just saw her head a foot in front of the dashboard, and her hair flipped over. And I was like, did we get hit? And she's like, yeah. And I turned around, and literally there was a white minivan basically parked in the bed of my truck, or in the bed of my dad's truck. And so my dad entrusted me with this thing that he expected me to take care of and to give back at the appointed time. And so I remember calling my dad and the disappointment in his voice. Now, this truck was my dad's first truck. He'd always drive in little cars, and he was so excited to have a truck. And he only had it for a couple years when he let his kid drive it around, who, when it was time to return it, was totaled. Long story short, the truck's still going. I drive it still today. It's a great truck. But my dad expected it back in a different condition. So tonight in Matthew chapter 25, what we're going to look at is a master who has entrusted something to his servants where he expects something in return. So if you got your Bibles, turn over there with me. We'll pick up in verse 14. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with him, and he had 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more." So what I find interesting in the passage tonight is there's a master who trusts his servants enough to say, hey, here is something great. Here is something valuable. So if you don't know, a talent is a form of money, or it's the highest, almost bill of money. It's not necessarily an exact bill, but it's more of a calculation or an amount of. And so scholars kind of disagree and argue about how much it is, but here's what I know for sure. It's a lot of money. More than you would want wasted. More than you would be willing to throw away. Some scholars believe it would be about a year's wages. So if you put that today above the poverty line, we're talking $35,000, $40,000 a year. Quite a bit of money. That's 1 talent. And so to each one of these men, he entrusts his property. My parents entrusted me with their property. They entrusted me with something that they expected me to use and use appropriately. And so we look at these different men, and they're each entrusted a different amount. The first one, receives 5, and the second one receives 2, and the final one only receives 1 talent. However, they were each given what the master understood was their ability. My parents, when they set rules for me to drive this truck around, they entrusted me and they had expectations for me to meet. One of those expectations was that I would care for their property, that every 5,000 miles that oil was going to be changed, and it was going to be changed correctly. It was going to be taken care of, that I wouldn't run it out of gas and leave it on the side of the highway, that if I noticed something was wrong with it, I would take it to the shop to get it checked out. There was also some other rules that they entrusted to me that I was not as good about. One of those rules was that I had to show up to school on time every day. That was something that I struggled with that we'll talk about a little bit later. But God is a master who knows his servants well. The master in the story knows what his servants are capable of. And so he gives them each what they can handle. He doesn't give his servants something that they can't do. He doesn't give his servants something that they won't be able to accomplish. He gives them gifts and these abilities so that they can go, or they have these gifts and abilities so that they can go out and use what God has given to them to take and bring back something for the kingdom. It says, then he went away. He went away. And on his journey, the first one went and immediately began trading. He started going out looking to take what his master had given him to, put it to good use, so that when his master returned, he would have something great to give to his master. And so immediately he goes away and he earns 5 more. And then we find the second servant. So the second servant had a different set of abilities than the first. He was only given 2 talents. However, the master still expected and required him to go out and do what he was meant to do. And so the second servant, it says that he went out and he too brought back two more. He doubled his talents. He doubled what his master had given him. And then we get to the third. But he who had received one talent went and dug a hole, or dug in the ground, and hid his master's money. So the third servant was entrusted with something. He was entrusted with his master's property. And we're going to learn a little bit later that he is afraid and he doesn't want to lose what his master gave him. And so he takes that money and he digs a hole and puts it in the ground. Not a terrible way to make sure that you're ready to give it back. And as a kid, I really struggled with this idea. Why would he dig it and put it in the ground? One, that's silly, right? Like, what's the point? But then I struggled with what the master came back to do. I struggled with what the master was going to do. I began thinking about this. I'm new to the adult world. For some of you, you're like, yeah, I get it. And for some of the kids, you're like, it doesn't look like it. I'm just losing my hair faster than some. But I'm new to the adult world, and I'm new to the world of investing. But something that I've paid a lot of attention to over the last couple of years is this idea of investing and taking what I have been given and using it to set myself up for the future. And so as I began researching it, I found this acronym, you know, that some of you have probably heard a lot, this ROI, a return on your investment. And I was like, that's kind of a weird thing. What does that even mean? Well, basically what it means is you want to take your money and you want to see that that money is going to bring forth more money. And so if you're going to take it and put it into a product, what you expect back is a certain percentage. So this master has those expectations for his servants, for them to go and use it and to return to him more than what they were given. And so if you are a smart person and you're looking at the track record of these three servants, as you look at it, two of them have 100% return. What God has given them, what the master has given them, they have taken and they have created more and more. Number one, if you found someone that can return 100% for 100%, see me afterwards. I'm looking for that kind of investment. But also, that's a good track record. However, the one that went and buried the money is a pretty poor track record. One thing that I've learned is putting your money in a bank account that has no interest on it isn't helping your money out. And so we go and look for things that will help to increase that. And so here's what happens, though. The master comes home. Verses 19 through 21. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and had settled accounts with them. And he who had received five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The master was always going to come home. The master was always going to come looking for what his servants were supposed to do, what his stewards of his money were supposed to do. And the first one is welcomed. The first one, when he sees the master, is excited. He comes forward and he says, Master, you delivered to me five talents. You trusted me with your property. You trusted me with something that you cared about. Here, I have made five talents more. The first servant understands something very important. One, that money was never his. It always belonged to the master. The things that he was entrusted with were never going to be his. He doesn't go out and waste his master's money. He doesn't go out and buy a really cool car, or I guess there weren't cars at the time, but you know, a really cool pair of sandals. I don't know, I'm trying to think what fits there. He didn't buy a new truck, that's for sure. But he didn't go buy himself a new set of sandals or the coolest robe. Instead, what he did is he took his master's money and he was smart with it. He was responsible. It's not in the text, but we have to understand that if he goes and he's going to return with something more, then he has to be doing it responsibly. He has to be doing it smart. He's paying attention. He's using the abilities that he has to go out and give to his master what he deserves. And so he says, here, master, I have made 5 talents more. The second one comes for his reckoning, his accounts. And it says, he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He comes again and he says, master, what you gave me 2 talents. Here it is. Here also, I have made you 2 talents more. He understands the same thing that the first one does. He doesn't waste a lot of time saying, master, you could have given me 5. I was ready. I had the ability. I had the talent. No, he took what the master gave him and he said, I can use this. I can grow this. I can do what my master wants me to do. And he goes and he makes 2 talents more. And so when his day of reckoning comes, when the master comes to settle accounts, he says, here, you have what is yours, the 2 you gave me and the 2 more that I brought back to you. I have made 2 talents more. I didn't skip over some verses. I did this on purpose. But one of the things that we notice and I want us to pay attention to is if you look in the passage, if you look over these verses, when the master comes home to both of his servants, although one has made 5 talents and one has made 2, the rewards are the same. The master expected, the master knew the ability of his servants. And so he's not disappointed that the man with 2 didn't come back with 5. Instead, he says, well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Both of the servants are on the same level when it comes to God. God gave them and he expected from them, but those expectations were different and what they returned was different, and yet the reward was all the same. You took what I gave you and you did what you were supposed to do. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there, right? The master has something for the third servant as well. It said, he also had received 1 talent, came forward saying, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. This was the part that I struggled with as a kid. What I didn't understand is he came to the master and he said, master, look, I was afraid. I know who you are. I know that you're a hard man. I know that you expect great things. I know that you want what's yours. So here, I found it. I've brought it back. And I remember thinking the master's response is so harsh. Until you pay attention to that word, I knew. These servants weren't shocked when the master came home. They knew he was coming home. I wasn't shocked when my parents took the keys away from me when I was 16 years old, right? They set expectations for me. There was an inherent truth in the fact that my parents said, hey, if you don't show up to school on time, you ride the bus. And so I pushed those boundaries. And luckily my school was late, so they called them after the 5th time and they were like, hey, your son's in trouble for truancy. And they were like, "What? You've been late to school?" And so I lost the keys to that truck because there was an expectation from my parents to do what I was told to do, to take what they had given me and use it appropriately. This third servant knew who his master was, and he did nothing with it. And his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. You knew. The servant knew. There was an expectation. There was a responsibility to use what the master gave him. And he wasted it. He didn't use it appropriately. And therefore, he had to deal with the punishment. He had to deal with the consequences of doing nothing. See, what I misunderstood as a kid is I was like, he was scared. That's not fair. He was scared. He didn't want to lose it. But God had an expectation. The master had an expectation for his servants. Servants are meant to serve their master, not to sit and waste what they've been given. They were required to go out and do. So the master continues, so take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's something that I noticed here. So take the talent from him. I think most of the time we do a really good job of focusing on the fact that, hey, the master or the servant's going to be cast out. He failed to do what he needed to do, so here's punishment. But there's also something more. Take the talent from the one and give it to the one who has 10. Give it to the one who's going to take what I have given them and use it appropriately. God gives to each of us, and for those of us who choose to waste his talent, we'll lose it. For those of us who choose to waste what God has given us, he's going to take it away. And he's going to give it to the one who serves faithfully. Remember, the first servant, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. The second one, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. God intends you to use the things that he's given to you. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, In 1 Timothy chapter 4, what we find is Paul's writing a letter to Timothy, his somewhat of son in the faith, the person that he trained, the person that walked with him through these challenges. And he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For this is the end, we toil and strive. Oh, I'm sorry, I just skipped a whole lot. I'm sorry, excuse me. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of good doctrine that you have been, that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irrelevant, silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value, or is in value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now we find this idea of training. These servants weren't sent out without being trained. The parable doesn't explain everything that's going on. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And especially as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, they should have understood that what he's saying is, hey, I'm the master. I'm going to entrust you with things. Pay attention and use what I've given you so that you can bring forth fruit for the kingdom. They should have understood it. They've been trained. Timothy has been trained. And he says, pay attention to these things. You have been trained in the words of faith and in good doctrine. You've been trained in the things that you need to. So now go and use what you've been given for the godliness. Don't pay attention. Have nothing to do with things that waste your time. Have nothing to do with burying your talents under the ground. Instead, train yourself for godliness. For while the bodily training is some value, godliness is of a value in every way. It holds the promise for now and for the future. Paul set an expectation for Timothy. He says, listen, there's going to be a lot of people out there who don't respect you, who don't think that you've got what it needs to, but take what you've been trained in and use it for God's glory. He continues, picking up in verse 9, says the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially for those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to the exhortation, to the teaching. And do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul only expects of Timothy what God expects of us. To take the things that we've been given and to use it for him. I love this passage, especially as a young guy in ministry, right? Don't let anyone despise you for your youth. And for our young people who participated in Lads to Leader, I hope that you were able to be here this morning. I was not. We were coming back from Henderson. But I hope that you enjoyed this morning being able to see what these kids have been trained in, what they have been practicing, what they want to do for the kingdom. Last Sunday night, I was so blessed, and I'm sure that you were as well, that we got to hear some of our younger Christians get up and lead the service. They got to get up and use the talents and the abilities that God gave them. They didn't go and bury it. Instead, they said, I'm going to take what God has given me, and I'm going to do my best. And when you're young, sometimes you fall, but I'm going to do my best. There were several at Lads to Leaders in every room who couldn't quite have the confidence to do what they needed to do. There were several in the room who were nervous, and you could see it. And they did it, and they continued, and they strove, and they fought through it. And because of that, they're going to be rewarded. Because of that, their gifts are going to continue to grow and grow. Amen. We have the same command, though, especially those of us who are older, those of us who have been trained and are wasting our talents. I've got four things to share with you, and then we'll be done this evening. Number one, all of God's servants have been trusted with great gifts from the Father. Every single one. If you open your Bible, there's no other way to read God's word than the fact that he has entrusted you with something great for you to go and use. There's no cop out. You can't be like the one. Remember, they were all given different amounts. The master came, he called his servants, and he said, here you go. I'm entrusting you with my property. It never belonged to you and it never will, but you better use it appropriately. The first servant, he went out and he made five more. The second servant went out and he made two more. And the last one wasted it. The thing is even that final servant, he was only entrusted with one. But that one talent was so valuable. He had the ability to go out and do so much with it. And he did nothing. God has entrusted all of his servants with great gifts to go and use. Number two, when you're entrusted with great gifts, there also comes expectations with it. My wife's a teacher. She sets expectations for her students at the beginning of the year. Hey, you're going to learn this, this, and this. And at the end of the year, they get tested on it. There comes a reckoning day. And for some of you, I don't know how you feel about testing or not, but there comes a day of reckoning where they've learned what they need to do, they've applied the knowledge and the ability that they have, or they haven't. But there are expectations that come with one, well, that comes with it. To one, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, each according to their ability. And then the master leaves, and he says, I'm coming back, but while I'm gone, use what I've given to you. Use what I have entrusted to you and you alone. Number three, though, you get to choose what you're going to do with it. It's that simple. God has blessed you. He's given you the things that he expects you to do. And you have a choice. Am I going to use it or am I going to waste it? I have made five talents more. I have made two talents more. I knew you were a hard man, so I went and hid your talent. You have a choice. No one can make it for you. Use it or don't. But like I said, there will come a reckoning. When the master returns, he'll come back for what he gave to you, and he'll come back expecting interest. The whole Google map or the Google slides didn't work well with my PowerPoint. That's what you're seeing up there. But it says in verse 25 or 19, or excuse me, chapter 25 and verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He's coming back to settle accounts with you and with me. And at the end of the day, the only person who gets to decide what you do with it, that gets to decide how you're going to use his talents, is you. But I want to be the one who hears those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Tonight was supposed to be a sermon kind of focused on the idea of training up leaders. But as I went through it, I realized that some of us just need the encouragement to get back up and use our own gifts. I was so encouraged at Lads to Leaders, not because there was a lot of finely tuned preachers ready to go and give a sermon, but I was encouraged by the fact that those who had little, who had been entrusted with very little talent, went and used it, and you got to see it grow. And I'm excited that next year when I go back, what I'm going to see is several of those students will be entrusted with more, and God will give them more because they continue to use the things that God has given them. Tonight, I have a question for you. Are you using what God has entrusted you, or are you wasting it? I can't answer that question for you. Unfortunately for myself, sometimes I have to look at it and go, I've wasted that talent. I've wasted that. I can't get it back. I've wasted that opportunity. God put it right in my lap, and I let it go. If you're not a Christian tonight, you have the opportunity. The water's ready. If you are a Christian tonight, but you've walked away, you've been like that unfaithful servant who's taken what God has given you and said, I'm not interested. I'm just going to put it away. I'm going to put it where I can't see it so I'm not distracted by it. If you need the prayers of this church, if you need the encouragement of your brothers, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.